الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على حبيبنا ونبينا ورسولنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: وإذا الموءودة سئلت بأي ذنب قتلت، وإذا الصحف نشرت. وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر: وإذا قيل لهم لا تفسدوا في الأرض قالوا إنما نحن مصلحون. وقال الله عز وجل في شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. All praise and all glory is due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah azza wa jal shower upon you all on this beautiful, noble and sacred day of Jumu'ah in the sanctuary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May our hearts be united and may we all be resurrected with the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam and re-enter into the gardens of paradise on the day of Qiyamah. Allahumma ameen. But over the last few weeks, we have been heavily invested in discussing the plight of our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Palestine, and how we must first and foremost reflect upon our own actions and change our hal before we change the hal of others, namely our community or our leaders. We learned that we must say Alhamdulillah for everything that we have. We must say and seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying A'udhu Billah. We must return to Allah azza wa jal by saying La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We must ourselves be the change that we want to see in society. We must be just, we must be upright, and we must be true Muslims who not only say Rabbuna Allah, but also Thumma Istaqamu, that we remain steadfast on what we say. We must be those who speak up, and those who stand up, and those who stand strong, and those who remain active for justice, whether it is against ourselves, our family members, our loved ones, or those people in power. We have a duty to do what is right. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must strive and we must struggle for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prevent all forms of zulm, known and unknown, those that are apparent and those that are hidden. We must be at the forefront and be the vanguards of justice, of equality for all human beings, and especially our duty towards our brothers and sisters. And last week we also carried on our discussion to recognize and to remember, not just now but also in the future, to recognize who are the munafiqeen, because this has all been done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ, to see those of us who are true and those of us who are hypocrites. The known enemy is easier to deal with because he is apparent, he is zahir, and you can deal with them. But the unknown enemies that are amongst us, that dress like us, that behave like us, are the ones that are the most dangerous. And we saw these munafiqeen in Makkah We also saw these munafiqeen in Medina, and we see them also now, and they are becoming more and more apparent. But our duty is to hold them to account, and to remember their faces, and to remember their statements, and to remember these so-called leaders and these criminals, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has exposed them for us. So this is something that we must all realize and we must remember. We must also persevere now, because it's been 5 to 6 weeks plus, and now we can see the fatigue setting in into the minds and also perhaps into the hearts of Muslims and non-Muslims. But this is the time for us to persevere and to keep the Palestinian and the humanitarian cause alive and carry on. We are those people who say رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. We don't just say that we believe in these things, but we also remain steadfast in all of these claims that we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to our brothers and sisters throughout the world. But some of us have this question that how can one individual bring about change? But if you reflect upon the seerah, and if you reflect upon the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He never sent 5, 6, or 10 prophets at a time. Neither did He send a group or delegations from the heavens. He sent one individual. And that one individual, slowly but surely, through his steadfastness and iman and his istiqamah, brought about a change. And it wasn't an instant change, but it was a gradual change. And we see this in the 13 years of Makkah and also in Medina. So this is the same rule applicable for us all, that we have to constantly persevere in our efforts. Don't just think, what can one voice do? Don't just think, what can one family do? But you need to carry on with this struggle within yourself, because when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal will not say, what did you all do or did you all achieve? Rather, you will be asked individually by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that what did you do? Did you just remain on your couch at home, on your sofa, and think, what's the point of my email? What's the point of me protesting? What's the point of this one voice? But it is all of those voices, when they come together, they make 300,000 or 500,000 people who are protesting, and their voice is loud and clear. Whereas we see that the floor of Parliament is empty. There is no sound there being made, but there is sound being made on the streets. And we must make those sounds within our communities, within our homes, in a respectful manner, in a dignified manner, in a legal manner, to say, this is what we stand for, this is who we are, and this is what we want you to do. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And this is a reminder for all of us who have been in the cause for the last 6 to 7 weeks. We must continue to persevere, we must be patient, and we must encourage other people to be patient, because a person who wants to lose weight doesn't happen overnight or in 5 or 6 weeks. A person who wants to bring about a transformation or a change within himself or in his society, it takes gradual change and time. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, oh believe, be patient in adversity, and this is a great adversity that we are all facing, and vie in patience, i.e. be patient yourself, and encourage others also to be patient in the adversity that we are all facing with one another, and be steadfast. Manusbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu. Remain connected and remain steadfast, and be ever ready to do that which is right. Right doesn't just mean that you've sent your email, you protested once and that's it. Right continues up until your very last breath, up until you return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be acutely aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you may succeed. So the success comes at the end when you believe, when you are patient yourself, and when you're facing the adversities, and when you're encouraging other people to be patient and taking them along on that journey, and you remain steadfast and you continue to do that which is right, and you remain conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then and only then, perhaps over weeks or months or over years, our brothers and sisters in Palestine have been waiting 75 years plus But their iman has not dwindled. Their sabr has not diminished. They are continuing to be patient and being steadfast in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first message that I wanted to share with you all today on Jumu'ah, the importance of remaining steadfast and continuing in the cause of our brothers and sisters in Palestine, and to remember that these people need that change and we are the catalyst of that change, insha'Allah al-Azim. Another point that I wanted to share with you today, very quickly, 3 points, insha'Allah. The second point is that in this particular country, November is classified, or rather categorized, as a month of awareness of Islamophobia. How ironic this is, that in this is the month where in all of the UK, within Parliament and various institutions, they are saying and claiming, this is the month of awareness of Islamophobia. But if you look at the world, if you look at our own institutions, if you look at our governments and the ongoing treatment of Muslims here within this country, and you can see their treatment of Muslims throughout the world, in the Middle East, and especially today in Gaza, you can see how afraid they are of Islam and how afraid they are of Muslims and the reality of what Islamophobia truly and actually is. The Oxford Dictionary defines Islamophobia as an intense dislike or fear of Islam. Intense, not even a small, an intense dislike or fear of Islam, especially as a political force. They do not want us to unite. They do not want the Khilafah. They do not want us to become a part of the Ummah. They don't want us to stand up for one another. So they dislike us, and they have a fear of Islam, and they have a fear of us being a political force, and there is hostility and prejudice towards Muslims. This is the Oxford Dictionary definition of Islamophobia. But if you go towards our very government, the Tories, the Conservatives, from 2016 up until now, they have still been unable to accept a definition of what is Islamophobia. First they ignore it and reject it and say it doesn't exist. And then they appoint somebody to say, oh, you come and define this for us. From 2016 up until now, they have still been unable to define or accept or acknowledge that Islamophobia even exists. They don't want to accept the Oxford Dictionary definition, or neither what the Labour or any other political party assumes what Islamophobia is. This is what their reality is. So we need to be aware that Islamophobia is not something which is new. Islamophobia existed in Makkah al-Mukarramah amongst the Sahaba Ikram before the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, where they had this intense fear, this dislike of Islam and Muslims, and they are fearful that they were going to lose all political and social, economic and religious control, and they were hostile and prejudiced towards all of the Muslims in Makkah. We see this in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and we also see this in Madinatul Munawwara as well. We see this at that very moment in time with the Byzantium and the Persian Empire. They had this Islamophobia, they feared Islam and they feared Muslims. We had this, and we can see this in the history of Christendom as well. You just only need to look towards the Crusades and the holy war that they had and they waged against Islam and Muslims, and how they exiled Muslims from Spain, and how they dismantled the Ottoman Empire, and all of the other things. And we can see this now in the new world order. So don't be afraid, and don't just think that, oh, that we are facing it here today in this country, or our elders who came 50, 60, 70 years ago, they are facing it. No, as long as there is haqq, as long as there is iman, as long as there are people who believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my dear brothers and sisters, youngsters, you will always face Islamophobia. But we must not fear. Why? Because we are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. We remember the struggles of Sayyidina Bilal ibn Rabah when he was there on the scorching desert, on the sand, placed there with a boulder on his chest, and he remained steadfast and said, Ahadun, Ahadun, Ahadun. This is what we need to remember as well, no matter what political institute, what government, what the world has to say about you, about our religion, about the Quran, about the Sunnah, or the seed of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We do not fear anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we only do that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we remain steadfast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said to the Quraysh, that even if you would give me the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, and give me the kingdom and the ownership and the wealth of everything that you have, I would still not stop calling people to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even if the world fears you, and even if the world opposes you and Islam and Muslims, no matter what the cost may be, we must remain steadfast on the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the spreading the deen of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُطِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. That they want to distinguish and to remove the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their mouths. And this is what they are doing, spreading fear and hostility about Muslims, about these barbaric people, and how they are treating the hostages or the people, how they treat their wives and their children, all of these other things. This is what they are spreading with their mouth, that the Quran is like this, the Sunnah is like this, the Prophet is like this. This is what their intention is. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِعُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُطِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's light is perfect and complete, and it will continue to illuminate the heart of the Muslims, the people of Iman, continue to illuminate all of the universes. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Even though the disbelievers dislike it and they hate it. And this is what they have trying to do throughout centuries of centuries. We have tried to coexist in Mecca, in Medina, in the Islamic Empire, in Palestine. The history is there and it testifies to this. In Spain and throughout the Islamic Empire, we have always coexisted. Why? Because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us all to live and coexist with one another. You see the treaty in Medina where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, we are part of one community and everybody has the right to worship in their own way, but we will defend one another as well. But you can see here that the world now is only defending a certain select group, and they are annihilating and massacring and doing genocide to the remaining people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran that do not ever fear anything that befalls you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your protector. Therefore, let the believers put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also reminds us in this regard that there will come a time, we are living in that particular time, there will come a time of patience where people, when they adhere to their religion, when they try to hold on to their religion, it will be like holding or grasping a hot piece of coal. Do you know how hot a piece of coal is? You know, we can't even bear to go near a flame, an open flame, or if a match is, or you know, even tries to come anywhere near us, and we feel the pain and we feel the burn on our skin. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, there will come a time upon the true believers that them holding on to the sunnah, holding on to the beard, holding on to the hijab, holding on to their iman, holding on to the Quran, holding on to everything that makes them who they are, their identity, will be like holding a hot, burning, scorching coal. But they will still hold on. Because why? Because the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the fire, كُونِ بَرْضٌ وَسَلَامًا for Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also give us the resistance and the resilience to hold on to that. Why? Because we are doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not just to make points, or not just to please or appease people. So this was the second point that I wanted to very quickly touch upon today on Jumu'ah. The first, on remaining steadfast for the cause that we are all in, and to remain standing firm for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the rights of our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Gaza. The second one, to understand this particular element of November, the month of awareness of Islamophobia, and how we need to remain strong and steadfast within ourselves and hold on to our identity and hold on to our deen. Coming to the third point that I wanted to share, as you are well aware, in the media, more and more innocent children are being killed, are being massacred every single day in Gaza. And this is no ordinary thing. This is an extremely, extremely horrible thing, that if all of those of us who have children, who have siblings, or those of us who have cousins and nephews and nieces would be able to connect with and understand their pain and their suffering, and how the parents must feel, and how these orphans must feel. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned previously in Jum'ah, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ, then don't ever assume that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unaware of the things, of the zulm that the people do, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very acutely aware of what they do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this regard, He reminds us in the Quran that وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, that on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of Qiyamah, when those children who were buried, those children that were tortured and killed and harmed, those children who were massacred, those innocent children, they will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for what sin were you killed? Because today there is no voice for them. There, nobody is listening to their screams, nobody is listening to their horror, nobody is listening to their trauma or everything that they are going through. Nobody is giving a voice to them. No government is ready to listen to the voices of all of these 4,710 innocent children that have been massacred today in Gaza. Nobody but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most just, on the day of Qiyamah, will ask that innocent child, why were you killed? To place terror into the heart of the zalimeen, of those people who killed these innocent children. Ask yourself, what is their guna? What is their sin? What have they done to deserve any of this? They have just come into this world. They are trying to live and survive, but they are being bombarded, they are being killed and tortured by the Israeli government. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to them justice on the day of Qiyamah. As I mentioned, 4,710 innocent children have been killed in the Gaza war up until now, and thousands more children have been injured and traumatized for life. You know, sometimes our children see something, we immediately rush towards them, we hug them, we embrace them, we reassure them and say, don't worry, beta, it's okay. And we are there for them. But who is there for these children when their parents have been killed before their eyes, when their whole homes have been completely collapsed in front of them, when they every night they hear the bombs, they hear the gunfire, they hear the destruction, the annihilation. In the morning they don't know whether they'll be alive or not, they don't know whether they'll be able to see their parents or not. We put our children to sleep at night, we kiss them on the forehead with this yakin that we will see them again in the morning. Every night their parents are kissing their children and they know that they may not see their child in the morning, and vice versa, the children may not see their parents in the morning. Save the Children, an organization, their statistics show that 79% of children now in Gaza have increased in bedwetting. Why? Out of the fear of what's going to happen during the night or what's going to happen during the day. 59% of all children now, innocent children, are experiencing difficulties in speech, in language, in communication, including temporary reactive mutism, where they're unable to even speak because of what they have seen, what they continue to see, what they are exposed to. They are experiencing extreme trauma and extreme abuse. What is their sin? What is their guna? Why do they deserve this? We would not tolerate it when a teacher shouts at your son or your daughter in school, when somebody attempts to bully your child in the community or anywhere else. We go all guns blazing. We go to the authorities, we go to the police, we petition, we do so much to protect our children because they are innocent. But who is protecting these innocent children today? What is their sin? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, what sin were you killed? And then that child on that day will be given the greatest platform. That child that day will have the strongest and most powerful of voices. That day the child will show its rage and anger and the injustice that was done against it by the zalimeen. And on that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do justice against the zalimeen on that day. So don't think that these people are getting away with it just because the ICC or other governments will not take them to account, not hold them to the international laws and the standards. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. So just remind yourself that when we came here today, we came in complete peace and freedom and safety. We breathe free air when we go outside. Those children are breathing air full of pollution, full of phosphorus, full of chemicals. Those children do not have a roof over their head. They do not know whether they'll be alive for the following day. What have they done to deserve any of this? What have they done? And also ask yourself, what are you doing to remove their difficulty, to remove their calamity? And this is where we will come to the following point. But as you know, in the last day or so, there was a vote, especially by the Labour government and the government here in this country, on whether there should be a ceasefire or not. And you know the statistics. You know exactly who voted for, who voted against, and who abstained from this particular vote. But what this vote clearly shows is that no ceasefire actually means carry on killing innocent people, carry on killing innocent children who have not committed any wrong. This is what the institutions and the politicians and our elected leaders have voted for by saying no to a ceasefire. And those who are saying we need to call for a humanitarian pause, what is a humanitarian pause? It basically means we'll kill you and then we'll allow you to recover for an hour and two so you can run away and then we'll come back to kill you again. This is what humanitarian pause actually means. And this is what a ceasefire, voting no for a ceasefire, means also, that we allow you to carry on and to kill all of these individuals. So as I mentioned previously on Jumu'ah, that we need to recognize who are the munafiqeen, who are the true hypocrites. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam reminds us that alamatul munafiq salasa wa in sama wa salla wa za'ama annahu muslim, that there are three major signs of a munafiq, even though that munafiq may pray, even though that munafiq may fast, and even though that munafiq may assume that he is a Muslim. There are three major signs. What are those major signs? The Prophet ﷺ mentions, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ, that whenever he speaks, or however he speaks, he lies, he deceives, he omits the truth. And how many of our elected politicians, the people that we have put into office, our councillors, our MPs, when they have spoken, they lie upon lie, and then they lie to hide that previous lie as well. And you cannot trust them whatsoever. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ, and whenever they promise, whatever they promise, they go against those promises. How much has the government promised? How much have our leaders promised? But if you actually look very, very carefully, you will not find a very clear, emphatic, statement from the majority of our leaders against Israel or the government of Israel or for support of the Palestinians or for their state. Is just very wishy-washy. We're here for humanitarian needs, we're here to support X, Y, and Z. We're not actually here. They don't actually say those crucial words of innocent Palestinian children or civilians or against anything against the government of Israel. They're just very wishy-washy. And when they make promises, they do not fulfill those promises. Behind closed doors, they will say something, and outside, in front of everybody, they will say something else. So these are the three signs that the Prophet ﷺ has reminded us, that whenever they speak, they will lie, or they will never say the full truth. And whenever they make a promise, they will betray you in their promise. وَإِذَتْفُمِنَا خَانَا, and whatever trust that you have given them, they will betray that trust as well. The government, when they did the Balfour Declaration and the Peaks and Cycle Agreement, when they gave access to the Jewish settlers to go into Palestine, and they promised so much, and the UN resolution promised so much, where are they in fulfilling their promises? Where are they in fulfilling the humanitarian law, the international law, and all of these things? The wadi have gone, their promises have gone, their trusts have gone, their promises, everything that they are doing, they are showing who they truly are. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran that وَإِذَا تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ وَإِنْ يَقُولُ تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. That when you see these people, you'll be amazed and you'll see how articulate they are and how good they look and how convincing they are, and their speech will be amazing, very eloquent, very beautiful. But they are nothing but hollow. They are munafiqs inwardly as well as outwardly. So we need to remember the reality of what is going on today, and we must not forget, and we must remain steadfast in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must stand up for our innocent brothers and sisters, and especially the innocent children as well, and remember never to lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite the open oppression, despite all of the things that are going on, we must continue and persevere and stay strong and remain optimistic in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla reminds us, وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. That do not ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For only disbelievers are those who lose hope in the mercy of Allah azza wa jalla. We are strong. We will continue to remain strong and remain strong for our brothers and sisters in Palestine. And we remind ourselves that the shuhada, the martyrs, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that the martyr does not feel the pain of being killed except as one of you feels the pinch of an insect bite. This is how much pain that they actually taste or feel, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala embraces them in His mercy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them so much beyond their imagination and enables them to enter into the gardens of paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ أَلَّا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And never think of those who have been martyred in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as dead. Rather, they are alive with Allah azza wa jal. They are receiving their provisions with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can cut off the supplies of water and gas and electric and food, but who is feeding them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them provisions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they are rejoicing in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them of His bounty, and they receive good tidings about those who are to be martyred as well. The children are being reassured, don't worry, your parents are safe. Don't worry, they will be joining you soon. And the parents also are being reassured by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about those who are yet to be martyred, those who have not yet joined them, that there will be no fear concerning them, and neither will they grieve. They receive glad tidings from the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ever waste the reward of the believers. So this is a reminder for us all, that know that the delight waits for all of the shuhada. Know that the shuhada do not feel that pain, and know that we should never lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, and we must continue and remain steadfast, inshaAllah al-Aziz. Wa quli qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum jazakumullahu khaira. Apologies once again for the technical difficulties with the projector.